We're talking with Liz Moran, who's the Environmental Policy Director at the New York Public Interest Research Group. And this week they released a report that 16 million New Yorkers are served by water systems with unregulated contaminants and notice a number of other problems. So, Liz, what sort of prompted the study and what were some of the key findings?
Many of your viewers may be familiar with the situation in Hoosick Falls, New York. Hoosick Falls discovered very high levels of an unregulated contaminant called PFOA. Now, PFOA is just one of a number of emerging contaminants that can show up in drinking water supplies. So what also happened in Hoosick Falls was it took the initiative of a private resident to find out that PFOA was in the Hoosick Falls drinking water supply. So we wanted to look at the testing that's already been conducted in New York State to see what other contaminants have shown up in water supplies, to give that information to New Yorkers. So we end up finding that at the end of the day, chance are Hoosick Falls is not the only community with emerging contaminants in their drinking water that may not know it yet. And PFOA is not going to be the only contaminant we have to worry about in New York.
So what are some of the other, major contaminants you were worried about? And you know, what were some of the, high levels or problem areas that you identified?
So PFOA, PFOS, and 1,4-dioxane are three contaminants that have been showing up in drinking water supplies across New York State. A couple regions in particular had far more detections than other regions. Long Island had more systems with detections of emerging contaminants than anywhere else in the state. The Hudson Valley region of New York came in with the second highest number, and then Western New York. And it makes sense because these are communities with a post-industrial legacy. A lot of these contaminants were used for a number of years in industrial processes, even though they could have negative health consequences.
You may not have gotten down to this local level, but, Troy is the birthplace of the Industrial Revolution, so they were involved with industry before a lot of other places. How did the Capital District in general fare?
So the Capital District did have some emerging contaminant detections. Troy actually could benefit from a number of the recommendations we have in our report. So we highlight New York City in our report because New York City had the fewest number of emerging contaminants detected, and it makes sense. They have very unique watershed protections. Troy's main reservoir is the Tomahanic, and it's outside of the city. The city should absolutely engage in partnerships with other communities and make sure that that water system is as protected as possible to prevent emerging contaminants from entering their drinking water supply.
Now, has the state at all responded, to your study? Do they agree with the conclusions, disagree? Have they been doing an adequate job of monitoring the situation? My guess is not, given what you found.
The Department of Health said they would review our report, but they did respond saying they felt the state was leading. And we would disagree, in part because there are laws that have now been on the books for 2 years compelling the Department of Health to have better testing for contaminants like this, to start regulating contaminants like this. And they've yet to move forward and actually establish these pieces through regulations. So one thing we recommend in our report is statewide testing for emerging contaminants like these contaminants. Right now, this testing only takes place in communities that have 10,000 or more residents. That's why in Hoosick Falls, it took a resident to find this out. There's a law that was passed 2 years ago telling the Department of Health to do this for New York, but they've yet to do so. They also have yet to regulate some of the contaminants we know are showing up in New York's drinking water supplies, like PFOA, PFOS, and 1,4-dioxane. We think it's important that the Department of Health moves as rapidly as possible, because the longer they don't have statewide testing, the longer they don't establish drinking water standards, it means there's a longer amount of time people may be getting exposed to unsafe levels of chemicals.
Now, outside, say in Rensselaer County, outside part of the corridor along the Hudson River, a lot of people use private wells. Do we need to see more systematic testing of private wells?
Absolutely. We found through a report that 6.4 million New Yorkers don't have emerging contaminant testing. 4 million of that figure are people who rely on private wells. And not only do those homeowners not have emerging contaminant testing, they don't have any regulatory protections. So we are advocating for New York State to adopt a model like New Jersey. New Jersey requires some testing of private wells before a home can be sold. So it makes sense to do that here in New York as well.
So you mentioned that proposal. Is there other legislation pending in the New York State government to try to deal with the water issue?
There are some pieces of legislation that we feel would be fantastic solutions to our recommendations in the report. There is a piece of legislation that would require statewide emerging contaminant testing to start ASAP. The bill just got introduced. It's Assembly Bill 7839. It's carried by Assemblyman Gottfried. It requires the Department of Health to come up with an emerging contaminant list within 30 days after the law is passed. We think this is critical. There's also a piece of legislation that would require private well testing in New York. So these are just two pieces of legislation we would love to see. There are other bills that would ban PFOA, PFOS, and related chemicals from being used in firefighting foam and food container products. That's another important step. We have to stop using chemicals in products where we believe they may not be safe for public health.
Now, I have a recollection that NYPERG and other groups have been, you know, urging the legislature in recent years to put more money into upgrading water systems in New York State. I know certainly sewers has been an issue as well. How far has New York come with that, and how much more remains to be done?
Yeah, water infrastructure needs in New York State are tremendous, and this report doesn't even go into our hard water infrastructure needs. Estimates for replacing old pipes, reducing sewage overflows, upgrading wastewater treatment facilities, that total comes to $80 billion over the next 20 years. Now, in New York, we do have a very comprehensive program called the Clean Water Infrastructure Act. It's funded at $2.5 billion over the next 5 years. This past year, it got a new $500 million on top of that. But at the end of the day, with an $80 billion need, and that doesn't include how much it'll cost to treat for some of these contaminants, we need to be funding far more than $500 million per year.
I don't know if you know this, but how does, like, you know, say the United States, New York, in terms of protecting our water quality, how do we compare to, say, I don't know, like Canada or other European countries? How, you know, do they act a little stronger on water quality, or, you know, we just sort of run the mill, everybody sort of ignores it until it's a crisis?
The European Union applies the precautionary principle to their policies. So the precautionary principle is straightforward. It simply states that we won't go forward with a process or use a chemical until it can be proven to be safe. New York State has a really famous instance where we use this principle, though perhaps it wasn't named, when we banned fracking. The governor and the commissioner of health said that until fracking can be proved to be safe, we're not going to move forward with it here in New York. We think that principle should be applied, of course, nationally, but starting here in New York, it makes sense.
So should, you know, listeners possibly, you know, should they be concerned about the quality of the water that they're drinking? And is there, you know, steps they can take to find out more information about that?
It's very important that listeners are informed about their water quality. We highly recommend they review water reports from their municipality, but they can also look that up through our database at nyperg.org/whatsinmywater. They can plug in their zip code and find their information. And once they have that information, they should absolutely look to see how state lawmakers and local officials are acting in response to this. What steps are they taking to prevent contamination of their drinking water source? What steps are they taking to make sure water is protected to the best of its ability?
And I assume the report's also on NYPERG.org?
Yes. Our report can also be found on NYPERG.org in the Reports tab.
And we've been talking to Liz Moran, the Environmental Policy Director of New York Public Interest Research Group, and this is Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.